Good afternoon. Many of you know that I work in a hospital. I get a lot of questions about what is happening right now, kind of what's going on in the medical field. So I thought I'd give a quick update on what I'm seeing. So basically all focus, just like with your lives, has kind of shifted to this coronavirus and how to deal with it. Everything that was deemed non-essential was stopped. If you had doctor's appointments, even surgeries that, it was decided, can we put this off for a couple months? All those things were stopped. What this has caused we have an abundance of nurses right now in Arizona, and this is what I'm talking about. It's just what I'm seeing here in Arizona. We have not had an influx of coronavirus patients at this point. It was, I believe, good news. We thought this past week we would see more patients coming in, and we had very few that were actually admitted. So that was a good thing. But we are still preparing for an influx that could happen potentially now in another couple weeks. We'll see if that happens. I don't know. I certainly hope and pray that it does not. And I would say that you should pray for that as well. As far as personal protective equipment, you hear about that a lot, PPE. There's still a supply. What happened was we had something that we used very little of in general, and we had this huge influx of a need where now we're using these things for every patient all the time, and it caused a backlog of supply, and also from the supply coming from China influenced that and our ability to get more. But there's been a lot of new things being done by companies in the United States, and that supply is coming in. It's still on, we're using it judiciously, but we do have it. But right now, in the hospitals in Phoenix, Arizona, the hospitals are very slow. Nobody's allowed in there. The capacity is about 50% in most hospitals here with inpatients. So we're getting ready for this big influx, and once again, I hope and pray that it does not happen. We live in a very distracted world, right? There's a major event happening right now, right? And it's bad. It really is. It's a bad thing. And it can be a distraction to us. It can be a distraction to what we're trying to do in life and what we're supposed to do. And there's good things out there as well, good things that can distract us in life. I'd like to look at some of those things today. Let's turn to Luke 8 to start here. In Luke 8, this is a parable of the sower. I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. It says, a sower went out to sow seeds. And he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And this is the one I want to focus on today. And some fell among thorns, and when those thorns sprang up with it and choked it." And if you go down to verse 14, or actually in verse 9, the disciples are asking, what does this mean? What are you talking about? In verse 14, it's explained. It says, "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and they're choked with these distractions that are listed here. Cares, which are like problems, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." Now distractions, they fill our lives constantly. There's so much out there that can distract us. Some are the bad things, right? Some are the good things. We can recognize those distractions. We can focus on what we should be doing and actually use this time to focus on our calling. So I want to start with my first point and just list out, go over what are distractions. What are distractions? And I'm going to focus a little more on those cares because we're going through a major world event right now. We're all living it. It's in our lives. It's on our minds. So cares are those problems, maybe trials, hard things that you have to deal with. Let's turn over to Luke 10, just a couple pages over. It's a story about being distracted here. Luke 10 and verse 38. And this is a story going on. It's about Jesus Christ, and he's having a discussion. It says, "Now when it happened as they went, and he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha," here says something, "was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And then Jesus gave an answer, and he says, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So there are many things that can become distracting, even things that are considered necessary, like work, maybe in this situation here, right? We have school, hobbies, TV, you know, friends, the fun things, the bad things, right? The coronavirus can be a distraction. And that anxiety or that focus on those distractions, it can pull us away from our mission. I'll tell you a story about something I witnessed. We have all these patients coming in, and there's a lot of fear going on about this virus. Well, we had a lady call up, and she had had a throat surgery, and she lived in Tucson, so she was a ways away from us, and she had a fever, and she was worried about it. She's worried about infection, but the healthcare around her would not let her in to the facility because she had a cough and she had a fever. So there was fear about her and the coronavirus. And there was reason for her to be seen, right? She had a surgery. She had a potential infection, but that was lost because of this distraction with this coronavirus. So we did get her in. We got her taken care of. And my point is with that is that you can lose focus on what your real mission is when a distraction comes along, right? Focusing on the problem and not what we're supposed to be doing, which in this case was taking care of patients. And these distractions or trials, they're real. They are very real, and they can be difficult. But they can actually strengthen us. They can strengthen us depending on how we approach these situations. You know, good can come from trials, or it can be something that pulls us away from God, from our ultimate mission. Even with this virus and the healthcare system, good things will come out of it. One example that I have is, telemedicine and being able to remotely see your doctor. That's something that was not really allowed. It wasn't covered by insurance, but it is now, and it will be in the future. And it's going to reshape how medicine is done. So that will be a positive thing coming out of this problem. Also, the way supplies come in, we recognize we have a real serious issue with supply chain. And when a piece breaks in that supply, how difficult it can be to get supplies. So there's going to be some changes even out of this situation that we're in now that are beneficial. And I'm talking, these are physical things in the healthcare system, but it applies to us as well. Let's turn over to James, James 1. James has a lot to say about trials and how we should live our lives through them. I'm going to just turn to James 1. I'm going to read through most of that chapter there. So in James 1, it says, "A servant of God to the Lord Jesus Christ." And of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says something that some of these scriptures, they stick out to me in a different way now with this situation that we're living in. But it says, "To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations." And I kind of relate to that now, as we are here scattered. So in James 1, and then in verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." A good thing, right? Comes out of a trial. It says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Right? So there's good in the situation. Skip on down to verse 9. It says, "Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since it will pass away like a wildflower." And I had mentioned riches and good things in life. James mentions those things as well here. And in verse 12, it said, "Bless is the one who perseveres under a trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." And that's really what we're focused on, or what we need to be focused on, especially coming into this time of year in the Passover, right? And we do that. We're separated, but we continue to have church, right? We follow God. We do the best we can in these challenges. We have new things that come up, new ways of doing things. We develop ourselves here at this time as a congregation and individually. We can do that. You know, think about it. We learned how to keep the Passover, right? Without having somebody provide that bread for us or that wine. You know, who knew what kind of wine to buy? I don't think many of us did. Now we do, right? And if you don't know, and I was a little confused about the natural wine, it's really the wine section, the red wine at the store. If it doesn't have something added into it, flavors or extra alcohol, that kind of wine section is what you need. But many of us didn't know that. How that will help us in the future, I really don't know. But it's a small example of something that we can see that we all learned during this trial right now, during this time of a real potential distraction. You know, other things, Mr. Miller brought up during the Bible study, how we dress, how we act on the Sabbath. Those are things now that there's nobody there looking at us when we go into services. It's up to us now. And the same with Passover. We get that opportunity to do it ourselves. It's a bad situation, but it's an opportunity for us as well. We get to choose how we act and make sure that it's appropriate between us and God. And until we get back together, we can all work through this individually as we are. It's a test, but an opportunity. Let's continue on in James here. Read some more. Verse 13, it says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God has tempted me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." And verse 14 says, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed." And that turns into sin. And we have distractions now during this time, and how do we approach those things? We have isolation, there's anxiety, there's lots of anxiety. We all have some anxiety during this time. It can distract us, or it can provide us a way to focus. Let's look at verse 16 here in James 1. It says, "Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." And that's what's important. That's where the focus really, really needs to be. God's plan for you and me. So find strength in it. We need to try not to get distracted with the fear, with the politics that are going on. There's a lot of information out there, a lot of distraction. So what should we be doing? What should we do during this time? I'm just going to continue right through James here as it lists out some things for us to do. So James 1, verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." And then verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." And we'll finish out here, 26. It says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world." What exactly does this mean to you or to me? I really can't say how that applies in your life specifically and during this time. But we can look for those opportunities. Now, some of the examples they already discussed about calling people, checking on each other. You know, all these things. We had kids, which is a big thing now, writing notes with chalk on the sidewalk, trying to bring joy and hope to people. There was a lady at my work who, she has a family, and I know things were getting kind of tight for her, and they didn't have toilet paper, and she shows up in the morning, and there's a big stack of toilet paper on her desk. Maybe at this point in time, that is what you can do. You know, I don't know. But we can look for those opportunities. It's our time to put these things into practice. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you." And it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And that applies to right now as well. Right? With these distractions in the world, there's a lot of opportunity for us to be pulled away. In verse 9, it says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." And once again, some of these scriptures mean more to me now after this experience, because people are out there and we don't know what they're going through. But we can know they're going through the same thing as us right now. It says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So with these distractions, there's this room for growth, for good to come out of it. So what really should we focus on? What should we focus on at this time? We really need to focus on God's plan for us. Know that God has a plan and you are part of it. I'll just refer to it, but Romans 8, you can write this down. It says, we eagerly wait with perseverance. We wait. We wait for that promise. The whole creation, it says, groans, waiting. And we do too. We look for that. And I can see even more clearly now after this whole situation that really it is God that has the answers for us. Man won't have the answers. We can try. We do our best to stop things like a virus. But this world can fall apart in a minute. And in fact, it has to some degree. But God, he's going to complete his great plan and his purpose in each one of us. And we see that with the holy days that are starting here in just a couple days. In 3 days, the Passover starts. And it's such a blessing to have that we can focus on in this time of distractions. There's so many things out there that can pull you away from looking at what the holy days mean and unleavening our houses, the Passover. And it doesn't matter if you're a Fox person or a CNN person. There's so much hype there, and you don't know what's true. You know, what is really true is hard to say. When I tell people that our hospital is empty, people can't believe that. They think there's people dying in the halls right now. And I'm not saying it's not bad in other places, but here in Phoenix, right at this point, these hospitals are empty. And you wouldn't know that from watching these news stations. There's no story in that. So be informed, but don't dwell on those things, right? Remember that you are part of God's plan. And the Passover, it's the perfect time to think about our role in that plan. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. This has been read recently, and it'll probably be read, I'm sure, on Passover night, but it's good for us to be looking at as we come into the Passover. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And this is a great time to focus and examine ourselves. Some of us have more time than we've ever had, time that we can use in a positive way, whether it's to study or fasting, those things that can build us up spiritually. Right? Remember what we are, what our mission is, and where we are going. Our mission is to be adopted into the family of God. That's what we're looking for. And it can be very, very difficult to see the positive in a very distracted world. You know, we're distracted by these negative things. And we need to remember that Jesus Christ, you know, all situations can be made for good. It was mentioned the announcements. I'm going to read those scriptures right now. I want to turn over to Matthew 6, verse 25. They're very encouraging to us here. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, are you not more of more value than they? It says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Goes on in verse 28. It says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Verse 31 says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Or where will we find toilet paper, right, in this time? It says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There are so many distractions in this world. There's the bad things, there's the good things. And we have been blessed with understanding that there's more to this life. I'm going to finish with just a couple more scriptures here that really make me think about this time that we're in right now. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians 4, there's so many distractions. And what is the answer to these things? Some of the people I know, and they're worried about the coronavirus, so the answer is to, you know, binge on Netflix. And that's just another distraction out there. Not saying they can't watch Netflix either, but this is a good time to focus ourselves right before Passover. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, like our bodies, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. And then it goes on to say, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And we can feel like that sometimes with these things in the world. Verse 16 says, therefore do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's where our focus can be. So we can use these challenges, trials, cares that come up to sharpen our skill, to grow. You know, be thankful for this opportunity that we have. And think about, where do we stand with cares, problems in this life, riches, we have pleasures. We all have distractions. We can use this time to put into practice what we have learned and to focus on what our purpose in life is. That's to be part of God's family and to serve him now and in his kingdom. This Passover and unleavened bread can be the best spiritual growth opportunity for all of us. I'm going to finish with one more scripture. Let's turn over to John 16. We had a little last minute meeting last night over Zoom, which is a new thing that's being used. If you haven't started, it's a great way to communicate on your phone. And this scripture came up. So John 16, verse 31. It says, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? And then he says something that struck me about this time that we're in now. Now I can relate to it. It says, indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own. Kind of how we are now, and that's how Jesus felt. And will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And then Jesus went and he prayed for his disciples. He prayed for us. Right? Jesus Christ knows what it feels like to be alone, to have people leave, and for him to be left there feeling alone and that anxiety that comes along with it. But he wants us to succeed. And he says that we can overcome because he has overcome. He wants us to succeed and grow in these times. And it's a blessing to be able to do that and have a Passover and be able to keep it with all of you over video in a few days. So have a great Passover, a great unleavened bread. I can't wait until this situation is over and we can all meet together in the same building. But until then, we can all grow and have a very good and happy Sabbath.